We shall be using this chart now. This is the chart on jade figure. Now, of the 52 jade figures, we first classify them into three groups: 30 anya samana, 40 akusala, and 25 sobhana, the beautiful ones. And the anya samana jade figures, they are the general ones. They can associate both with asobhana chaitas as well as the sobhana chaitas. So they can walk two ways, both, for good and for bad. You can do two ways. And again, we subdivide the anya samana into two groups: sabba chaita, sadharana. Sabba chaita, that means all chaita, sadharana, associate. So these seven chaita seekers, they associate with all chaitas. Now there are seven of them. I got only three here. Two are missing. So you fill it up. Now what are they? So we say, padve sanche ejimana. So don't forget that. Pavve sanche ejimana. So what are they? Pasa vedana sanya chetana ekagada jivitendriya manasikara. Seven of them. So these seven, they are essential for the chitta to cognize a sense object, to be aware of a sense object. So we have six sense doors. So when the sense objects, they appear in one of these doors, it would be manasikara, that first take notice of this sense object. It takes notice of that by paying attention to it and by directing the chitta and jada seekers towards it. So we say jada seeker, it acts, it walks like a rudder of the boat or rudder of the ship, that directs the chitta and the jada seeker so that they can go to the sense object. Now, then the pasa makes the contact between the sense object and the chitta jada seeker. So sense object is the material, chitta jada seekers are the spiritual. So they make the contact. And when the pasa makes the contact, the feeling or sensation arises. So it arises at the same time as vedana. So that vedana, we say vedana is feeling or sensation. And again, vedana itself enjoys that sensation. So it is twofold. The sensation itself is vedana. And it is vedana that enjoys the sense, the taste of the sense object. So when the vedana endures the sense, we enjoy it. So actually in Abhidhamma there's no we, no I. Only vedana is enjoying. So okay. Then sanya takes note of the shape, the features of the sense object, so that you can recognize it. It helps you to recognize each sense object, and it helps you to know or to identify the sense object when you meet the sense object again in the future. Then we say the chetana. Chetana acts on its associates, on the other chitta seekers and chitta, to do their respective functions. And jivitendriya is essential to sustain the vitality of these entities so that they can function their job well. And ekagata is also essential. It unites the chitta and chitta seekers to be focused on the sense object, so you can be aware of the sense object all the time. So all these seven, they have to walk unisonly And by that, we remember, we know, or we are aware of the sense object. Now we can go to the next group. On page 56, we call the Pakinaga, see the seeker. No, Pakinaga means the particular. So there are six Chaita seekers. They associate both with Sovana and Asovana Chaita. But they don't associate with all. They associate only with those which they should associate. So they are sort of particular. Not only with particular Chaita they will associate. Now let's read the six of them. No? Vitaka, initial application or thought conception. Vichara, sustained application or discursive thinking. Adimokha, decision or determination. Virya, effort or energy or exertion. Piti, rapture or interest. Chanda, wish, desire or will. Again, you can remember these six by taking the initial consonant and you make it rhyme. So, we don't take the initial, we take like this. Pecha wuti chan adhi. Take these as pakinaga. Okay. So, tek, no? So here, yeah, tek, we tek, no? So, tek, cha, so we take the middle consonant here. Tek, cha, we, pi, chan, chanda is chan, adi, adi is adi mauka. So, you got it? Okay, you better take note. So, you want to remember it? Tek, cha, we, pi, tek, cha, we, pi, chan, adi. Take these as pakinaga. Take these as pakinaga. Okay? So of these six, we have already come across three of them as jhana factors. Now, vitaka, vichara, and piti. They appear as jhana factors. We already know them. Now, vichaka, it applies the chitta and the seeker. Apply the mind to get onto the sense object. So it applies the mind to get to the sense object. So manasika directs the chitta and the seeker towards the senses. And it is vichaka, not apply it towards the senses. Just like you direct a person, my house is over there. So you give the direction as the manasikara. So the person will go to the house. But it cannot get into the house yet. So it takes the vichaka. No? So to call the people in the house to open the gate so you can get in. So there will be vichaka applying it. So and then the pasa has to make the contact with the people inside. So they walk step by step there. So here vichaka applies the mind, that is chitta and the seekers, onto the sense object, to get onto the sense object. And when it applies on the sense object, you start thinking about this sense object. So it initiates a thought process. So we also call it thought conception. Thought conception, because it initiates a thought process about that sense object. Now the next one, vichara, sustained application. So that means it keeps on applying the sense object, the chitta and the seekers, towards the sense object again. So it applies again and again. So we say the chitta and the seeker, they examine the sense object again and again. And by that examining, we also say it is just like discursive thinking. And then this vitaka and vichara, of the two, vitaka is the forerunner, vichara is the follower. So, on page 67, if you look at number 2, vichara, and the second paragraph there, vichaka is the forerunner of vichara. The two should be distinguished thus, Like the flapping of the bird about to fly is vitaka. Like its springing movements in the sky is vichara. Or like the beating of a drum or bell is vitaka. And like its reverberation is vichara. So when you sound a bell, not the big bell, so when you sound it, boom, so in the sky is vichara. Or like the beating of a drum or bell is vitaka, and like its reverberation is vichara. So when you sound a bell, not the big bell, so when you sound it, boom, so that is vitaka. So boom, boom, so you get a reverberation. That is vichara. So they always go like that, no? Or one in front and one following it. And then we say adhimokha. Or one in front and one following it. And then we say adhimokha. Adhimokha, we say decision or making the determination. Whether the sense object is good or bad. No? Whether the sense object is good or bad. And it never waver, no, in its decision. So it always makes the decision as it should be. So it is impartial, that means, no? It always does its job, no? So, and virya is quite significant. No? That virya, we feel the effort or the energy or the exertion that you make. So when you are walking path, so you are exerting the effort, no? That is virya. Or we say this man, no, he walks very hard, and he persevered, no? So when you find difficulty, so you like to stop it, no, to give up. Now this virya is a sort of courage. It is also a sort of courage. So though you find you encounter the difficulty, you won't give up. So you keep on, no, doing it. So we say perseverance. No, you persevere it. So here also we give you, no, the second paragraph of virya. Please look at again number 4 virya, the second paragraph. It has the characteristic of supporting, upholding, or sustaining its concomitant as a leaning old house. Supported by new pillars may not fall. So also concomitants supported by virya will not give way. So you can imagine it. An old house is leaning. No, it is about to fall down. It's leaning here. Now if you support by a pole, what will fall down? No, it won't fall down. It will stay just like that. So virya is just like that support. No, like that support. So when you perform a new job, like learning Abhidhamma, for example, so you find some difficulty, you are thinking of not running away. So if you have good virya, so virya would not let you to run away. So it's supported. Now you cannot run, so it's supported. Now, so it keep on supporting that, so that means you keep on doing it. So finally, you will win. No, you will win. So like also in fighting, no, you are outnumbered by the enemy, so you want to retreat. Now you get a new reinforcement. Ah, you become, no? So you become, no, encouraged, so you keep on fighting. So just like that, no? Like the reinforcement, the virya. So virya is a very, very, no, the reliable to the seeker. And because of that, you will win success. So the Buddha said, no, the Buddha said, no, virya vato tenama kaman na sichati. If your virya, your effort is strong, there is no job or nothing that you cannot win, no, that you cannot succeed. So we know this effort is a key to success. No, if you read about the books, no, for success, so this effort, virya, no, is one of the prominent ones. So it is one of your key to success. No, so Bring set the good virya in your learning Abhidhamma. So you will master the Abhidhamma. So, okay. Then we go to the next one, Titi. It's again very significant. So you can look at on page 68, about the Titi. So that Titi, we generally translate it as rapture, joy, happiness, interest, or enthusiasm. Now, when you get something that you like, you are joyful. So that joy is pity. Now you see, your lover, your sweetheart, you're very, very excited, you're glad. So that is also pity. Now this pity is a sort of energy. It is also a sort of energy. No, we say a weary, exhausted traveler. He is very thirsty. He can hardly walk. Now, a man coming from the opposite direction told him, my friend, you just walk on, about 100 yards. You see a pond full of clear water. You can drink water as much as you like, and you can eat the lotus plant as much as you like. So, when you get that good news, so what this traveler would do? Now he's so weary. When he heard this good news, he would run. He would run. He would run there. The same way, some people, when they the heartbroken or something like that, so they lie on bed. Now if their lover comes here, you get up. So there is pity. Now this pity has five stages. So they are given on page 68 at the bottom there. There are five stages of pity. One is kotaka pity, we call it. The thrill of joy that causes the flesh to prick. So you might experience this pity when you are very, very joyful. You are very glad at the time. You may have creeping on the flesh, you see. So, your body hair will wear up, and you get the sensation. So, also in meditation, you will get this piti very often. So, I first meditated in Mahasi Meditation Center. So, at the time, I was the president of the Buddhist Association in the Institute of Education. So I organized 40 students, both co-eds and students, and some teachers. So we went to Mahasi and meditated together. So after 3-4 days meditating, I got that sensation, that creeping on the flesh very often. So I did not know at that time what's that. But when I learned Abhidhamma, it is a kotaka piti. Speeding up. Then, after about 2 more days, I got number 2, the karika piti. Now, instantaneous joy, like a flash of lightning. So, this is a longer trail. Now, effect, electricity flows from your head to your toe. It passes like you see, you get the sensation, the longer sensation. So the longer term, that is we call kanika piti. And again, after 2 or 3 days, we encounter number 3, we call outkantika piti. That O is called O, we usually pronounce O. When you put K there, it becomes outkantika piti. The flood of joy, like the breakers on a seashore. So if you've been to the seashore, as Malaysia has so many beaches, Johor beaches, with the coral reefs, that's what I read in the book. So you have Johor seashore, if you went into the seashore, when you get the uptide, so when the tide comes up, it lifts your body up. Now, when the tide goes by retreat, you fall down again. So you get the sensation. Lift it up and coming down, lift it up, coming down. The same thing you get in meditation. Then you get the speaking. No, so though you are sitting there, your sensation is you are being lifted up, and then you're falling down, lifted up, being falling down. So the meditators would say, oh, now at that time they are riding kites, you see, or they are on the boat, you see. So if you get the sensation, please be aware, it is the Akantika Piti. And number four is Ubbega Piti. Ubbega Piti. It is the uplifting, oh no. No, the Akantika is like the flood of joy, like the breakers on the seashore, like you are being lifted up by the tide here. Now this Ubbega Piti is stronger. Now it is stronger. It is uplifting joy, which may lift one to float in the air. In one the Buddhist literature, I came across one instance there, a pregnant lady. She would like to go to the Hare Pagoda festival. But all the rest of the people, they went to the pagoda. So telling her, you better stay home. Since you are far advanced in your conception, so it will be danger because so many people, they might squeeze your belly, so you better stay home, he said. So the rest went there. So she could see from her house about the pagoda on the hill there. And some people going up and down there, so she would like to go there very much. So she paid homage to the Buddha, to the pagoda there, and then she developed joy. So she paid homage, so she wanted to be there, so she developed the joy, and the joy becomes so strong that she actually flew through the air and got to the pagoda. So before then, her members, her family members arrived there, she was there. She was there. So you may feel like that. But there's very rare to see people who really fly or put it up. Or in my case, we get this teaching. So at that time, while you are doing the meditation, in Mahasi, actually, we are noting the arising and falling on the belly. So just as you note, 2-3 times, it seems that your body, the whole body, dissolves. And then you are lifted up, so you are shot up to the sky. So it seems you are floating in the sky now, above the clouds there. Very good sensation there. So I think there is the Ubbega, the Ubbega Piti. Now you get that sensation being lifted up. And also we have some meditation master, like Lady Seado. So people saw him while he was meditating. His body was about 3 feet above the ground. So he can stay in the air because of this uplifting force. Okay? So you try it. So number five is the Paramapiti. Now we call it Paramapiti. Subsuming joy, which pervades the whole body like a full-blown bladder, or like a lump of cotton moistened in oil, or like a flood overflowing creeks and ponds. So that means the joy. It perfumes the whole of your body, so it permeates throughout your body, so you feel very pleasant and joyful, as if you are forced out of that piti for a long, long time. So there is Parana Piti. Okay, you do meditation. Now you experience these 5 stages of piti. So when you get that piti, so don't think that you are seeing very, very good Dhamma also, you only build up some concentration, that means. You just get some concentration. No insight yet at this stage. No insight. Okay. Okay, we go to the sixth chandra, we say. Now, so chandra. Now we translate as here they say, not coordination, intention, wish, desire, or will. No? I think the chief characteristic of chanda is the wish to do. So I think that wish and desire is a good word for chanda. Now it is like the stretching out of the hand, stretching of the hand to grasp an object. Also a desire for something without any attachment to the thing is chanda. Chanda is ethically neutral. And it is a neutral term. And it should be differentiated from immoral lupa, which is a desire with attachment. So, no desire. Now, after sitting for, say, 2 hours in this class, so when it comes about 2 hours, you are get a little tired and you want to get up. No, so that one, the wish to get up is chanda. So even if you wish to get up, you get up. No, as soon as the class over, you get up. No, because you have that chanda. For me, I've been sitting for standing for 2 hours, so I have the wish to sit down. So whatever you do, actually, it is the wish, that goes first. So because you want, say to raise your hand, so you raise your hand. And because you wish to go, you go. And because you want to know Abhidhamma, you come and listen to Abhidhamma class now. So this is the wish. This is the wish. And it is the first step in an action. So we say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So the first step is the chanda. So if you begin the first step, then if step is this, you will arrive at your destination one day anyway. So if you start going, you will get there. And not this wish. If you have no desire, you will not go. So also we have a saying in Myanmar. La luli anigle. If you wish to come, it's very near. It's very near. Malaluni awaji. If you don't wish to go, it is very far. So your neighbors are very close to you, but you don't wish to see them, so you don't go to them. Now your sweetheart or your lover is far away, 200 miles away. You want to see him, the wish is there, so you go. I went several times myself. So there's chanda. Now this wish, when it becomes very strong, this wish, now it becomes a will. So the strong desire, the strong wish is the will. So again you have to say, if there is a will, there is a way. Now so if your wish is very strong, now you will exert the effort, so that you will achieve it. So if your wish to become a doctor is very strong, and you will strive on so that you will become a doctor. So if you have the wish, very strong wish to be a successful businessman, so you will try to do it, to be a successful man, and you will become it. So the same thing like virya. Now we say this chanda is also a key to success. It is a key to success. So it is one quality that you can rely on to be successful in life. So here we have two very good qualities, the virya and chanda. But remember, this virya and chanda, since they belong to the anya samana, that is, they can walk two ways. So they can be on the good side as well as on the bad side. So some people, they would like to be a big gambler. The wish is a big gambler. So they will become a big gambler. So if you wish to be a big cheater, you become a big cheater. So remember, it works two ways. So make it good. Make it good. Okay then. So we finished the six Pagnidas and seven Sabbacita Sadharana, and that will make up the 13 Anya Samana. Now we can go to the next group we call Akusala Chidasika. So it is given on page 69. So Akusala means immoral. No, immoral Chidasika. That means ethically immoral. No, ethically, according to the code of ethics, they are immoral. They are immoral ones. And again, they may be divided into two subgroups. So the first subgroup we call Moha Chatukka. No, Moha Chatukka. So, no, Chatukka means a group of four. No, Chatukka means a group of four that is led by Moha. Moha is the leader in this group. Now, these four to the seeker, they will associate with all Akusala seekers. And because of that, we call them Akusala Sadharana. Now, no, you can compare with the name here. When we say Sabba Chaita Sadharana, Sadharana means they associate with all Chaita, right? Sabba Chaita Sadharana. Here we call them Akusala Sadharana. So this soul, no, this soul Chaitasika, here, the Moha Chatukka, this soul, they will associate with all the Akusala Chaita. So because of that, we call them Akusala Sadharana. And you will find out later on, whatever evil deed you do, these four Chidasikas are always at the background. They are the ones that give you the motive, the force to perform the wicked deeds. So they are. Now what are they? Please read them. Number one is Moha. Avijja, and the meaning, delusion, ignorance, and dullness. Number two, ahirika, ahirika, lack of moral shame or impudence. Three, anuprata, again we call it not, O is O, so when you put T, you become anut, anuprata, lack of moral dread or recklessness. And number four is uddacca, unrest or restlessness or distraction of the mind. So now we explain them in some detail at the bottom of page 70. Now for moha there, we give you some explanation there. Now this moha is very, very important. Now it is the worst, immoral chidasika. It is the worst one. Now you should know it. Now this meaning is very important. Moha is the ignorance of the true nature of the sense objects. So when we say ignorance, we don't mean that you are ignorant of everything. We don't mean that. But you are ignorant of the ultimate realities. We are ignorant of the true nature of the sense object. Now by that, what do we mean? We are ignorant of the true nature of sense object. So when you look at me, how do you see me? You see me as a man, as a person, as Dr. Mon. So that means you don't see the true nature of the sense object. Because the man, the person, Dr. Mon, do not exist. So we have already discussed it. They do not exist. What really exists is Namarupa, we say. Now, when we say Namarupa, you don't take this body as a Rupa. You don't take this a Rupa. This body, the body is just a conventional truth. It is Panyati, we say. It is Panyati, just a definition, it's a body. It's not the Rupa. The ultimate Rupa is formless, shapeless, that you cannot see. That you cannot see. What you are seeing is not the real Rupa. It is just a delusion. It's just a delusion. So if you had said, if you look me with the X-ray eye, if you have the X-ray eye, how do you see me? How do you see me? You don't see my clothing. You don't see my flesh. You see only the skeleton. So if you look with the X-ray eye, You don't see this person? You just say a skeleton. That's all you see. Now if you look at the gamma rays, it has shuffled them. So the gamma rays can pass through the bone. So empty. No, empty. No? So science also say the body is empty. No, the body is empty. Science also say. No? So in science we say the body is made up of atom. So billions of atoms. So if you take the nucleus of all these atoms, that makes a body. Now that's what the scientists they estimate. So you will get the size of a pinhead. Now all the nucleus, the nuclei of the atom that make my body, if you group them together, no, it's only the size of a pinhead. So only the size of pinhead is solid. All the other is just space. No? So you have the nucleus, electron revolving, so in between there is big space. Now the sun is the center, and the earth, the moon are revolving around the sun. So in between we have large space, the same thing. The body is empty. So if you look with that eye, there's no person, no body, no. So what you will see, that's emotion, we say. No? Just like you see the clouds, or you think, oh, there's no. It's like look like a wave, or that cloud look like a bird. Or it look like a dragon, but you go to the cloud, but aeroplane, then you get there, it disappears. Nothing is there. The same thing. So don't take this body as the rupa. Don't think it's a rupa. So the ultimate rupa is formless, shapeless, that you cannot see. That we cannot see. But you can see, with samadhi mind. That is samasamadhi, we say. Not samasamadhi, the right concentration. When the mind is associated with the right concentration, you can see not this, but the particles that make up the body. We call it the rupa kalapa, just like the electron proton. No, they make up the body. You can see. You can see with them. So, the real nature of the body is it is made up of nama and rupa. Okay? Both nama and rupa are formless, not shapeless. So try to know that. And they arise and dissolve very rapidly. Now both nama and rupa, they arise and dissolve very rapidly. So the same idea is put up by science. Science also say, this atom, they arise and dissolve all the time. They are changing all the time at least. So, we say when this nama and rupa, they arise and dissolve very rapidly, we say they are impermanent, anicca. Because of that we say they are impermanent, anicca. And they are not satisfactory, or it amounts to suffering actually, dukkha. Dukkha can be translated in many ways. And the best word is actually suffering. So, sentence is, but it's not permanent. It's suffering, the Buddha said. That would be true. So you have to imagine. So you cherish this nama rupa. And they are dissolving all the time that you cherish. This nama rupa is dissolving all the time. So you are being tortured by the solution all the time. So it amounts to suffering, right? That is dukkha, suffering. They have the nature of anicca, impermanence. Dukkha, suffering. And anatta. Anatta, not self. No? Not person, not self. Not ego. So there's no self, there's no person, no I. So all they are arising and dissolving all the time. So which would you call Pokemon? You cannot call anything because as soon as they arrive, they dissolve. Nothing is permanent. So you cannot see, that can represent Pokemon. No, nothing. So we say not self. That is anatta. And another one. No, another one is asupa. So, are you familiar with asupa? No, asupa means foulness. No, foulness, loathsomeness. So the Buddha said that nama rupa is loathsome, disgusting, very disgusting. So we think we are so charming. No, so beautiful. That's what you think. No. The Buddha said nothing that is charming or beautiful. So you're looking yourself as a body, as a person. You're looking as a whole, as a person. So the Buddha said, no, he gives resurrection. So don't look at the person, not superficially, and as a whole. Try to analyze it. So the Buddha gives the guidelines. So you analyze first and do 32 parts. Head hair, body hair, the nose, no, the nose, the teeth, the skin. So these are the five outer, no, the organs we say. Then you go in the flesh, no, the veins, the arteries, the blood, the bone, the marrow, and the liver, no, the heart, the lungs, intestine, and of course, no, your excrement, the urine, no, the first soul. So now you examine each of them. Which is beautiful? No, which is beautiful? So we say, oh, no, our hair is sacred, it is on our head. So this hair really got is very sacred to us. Now when we are taking the soup, your hair drops into the soup. So how do you feel? No? About that hair there? Oh, you like your soup with the hair? So it becomes disgusting. No? So like in the shampoo advertisement. Like also we have in Myanmar, now they have prison shampoo. So in their advertisement, they take the picture of beautiful lady with the hair all black and then sparkling. So they get the various angles of that. So beautiful, you like to follow her. No, we also have one shampoo that has the name Follow Me. So so watching at that beautiful lady showing the hair, very beautiful hair, we like to follow her. Now for the man that wants to follow her. Every morning she combs her hair. So when she combs her hair, several hair comes out. So she will give that person. So you admire my hair, you take them. No, you take them, keep them well in your pocket. When you take a soup, put them in the soup and take it. You cannot do it. No? So sometimes we admire the ladies. Oh, with very beautiful knees. Oh, their knees are so beautiful, like pearls, you say. You know, shiny and something like that. Well, if you admire so when she cut the knees, she gave it to you. Now, since you admire, you keep this. So when you eat, you bring out the packet. You will move into it. Also, some ladies, when they smile, oh, is it very beautiful? Their teeth are so beautiful, just like the pearls, not being arranged there. Now, she has a toothache and has to extract one tooth, and she gives the man who admires her. Now, since you admire my tooth, you make it a locket, and you put it on your neck. How do you do it? No, you don't do it. So even these parts that you think very beautiful, as soon as they are of your body, they are disgusting. So you cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. No, what the Buddha said is correct. So what is beautiful? What is beautiful in a person? So nothing. So you have to, not that say, beauty is skin deep, we say. No, that's the Western people say. Beauty is skin deep, that's very right. Very correct. No, so the skin, only the skin, it looks very beautiful. So the skin is very thin. So you just take out the skin of your lover. No, you try to take it out. No, of course, by imagination. So if you can take peel of the skin of your lover or your sweetheart, how would she look? No? Just like a carcass, not in the butcher's shop, the same thing, no? Like the carcass, a lamb carcass, the goat carcass, the same thing. So you won't like to embrace anymore. So they have these four characteristics. So we get that on that the first paragraph under Moha. Now we have that there. Now, Moha is the ignorance of two nature of sense objects. Living and non-living things are made up of just Nama and Rupa, no, which are endowed with the four common characteristics of a nature, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, nonsense, and asupa, not sunless. as mother brings our mental eyes and sees us from seeing the true nature of things, we cannot see the extreme liberty and infection arising and dissolving of Namarupa. We get confused and take the opposite characteristics to be true. So we see things as nature, no? Permanent. So a nature, you make it nature, permanent. And for the sukha, for the suffering, the dukkha, no? You see it as sukha, pleasant. And artha as a person, and sukha as beautiful. So that is our outlook. Now, when we look at ourselves and other people, we think, oh, we are permanent. Since we were born, now, up to today, oh, we are permanent. So I'll be here tomorrow teaching you to teach you again. So now, I will live on, that means I think I will be permanent. So we think we are permanent too. And we also think that, oh, enjoying the sense pleasure is blissful, happiness. So we think, oh, to have this not body is sukha. No, we say instead of dukkha, you say it is sukha. And also you will see, you take it as a person, as self, as I, that is atta. You take it as I, atta. And you think you are handsome or beautiful, that is sukha. So that is what our real outlook, no, on the world. So, no, our outlook of the world is just the opposite of the real things. No, so you should know that, no, our outlook, everybody's outlook, is just the opposite, no, the opposite of what, no, of the reality. So, no, if you have that wrong vision, so we say moha gives you the wrong vision, no, distorted vision, upside down vision. No, so you take that upside down wrong vision as to be true. So if you persuade, no, according to this outlook, then you will go to the wrong direction. You will go to the wrong direction, and there you think you will get, you know, the happiness. Though you try to chase for happiness, you will never get happiness. No, never you will get happiness. Because in sense pleasure, no, there is no substantial happiness. No, all these sense pleasures, no, they just arise and dissolve. They are just within a sensation. They arise and dissolve. We say fleeting. No, they are fleeting, this sensation. Fleeting and transient. No, so they are not permanent. It's nothing to grab, oh, so good. Nothing like that. And you will get bored with this sense pleasure very soon. No, because this moha gives you the wrong vision. Oh, everything is beautiful. Oh, we are not like a person, we are subject, we are object. So you will see later on lopa, crave for them. No, because of this wrong vision, lopa, crave for this sense pleasure. So you are enjoying with the sense pleasure with lopa. No, great rooted chaita, you are enjoying that. So when you enjoy with great rooted chaitas, so joy also arises, pichi arises there, sukha, pleasant feeling arises. No, that piti sukha, we take it to be good, to be pleasant. That's what we, that is a sense pleasure, is that? But they are not permanent. They arise and it is off, it is gone. So you always have to exert new effort in order to enjoy more and more of that. No, so constant exertion of the effort to enjoy more and more of the sense pleasure is what? Suffering. No? The constant effort, you have to struggle. You're struggling. Now you struggle, you want to enjoy it. If your desire is not fulfilled, then suffering. So very soon you will find this lopa, greed, is always looking for new sensation. New sensation. So if you get the same sensation, for a long time, you get bored. You get bored. So even the song that you like very much, and the movie that you like very much, you don't like to watch this movie twice, at one night, you don't want to, you get bored. So there are no real happiness and sensation. So if you taste the sensation, where do you end up? You end up in hell. you end up in hell. So it's just chase of the sense pleasure. Just rupa mula chitta. When you don't get, you get frustrated, you get dosa mula chitta. So when you're absent-minded, you get maha mula chitta. All these chittas. So when you die, you go to the way for boats. You go to the way for boats. So it's better to get the right view, to get the right vision. So this maha, is the bend, it distorts your vision. So don't you see the things, you don't see the true nature. So you take the other nature. So we say this maha blinds you. It keeps you in darkness. In total darkness, because you do not know the true nature. It's the same like you are blind. Or you are in darkness. So we call it avijja. Moha is called avijja. That is darkness. So, you get some idea? If you know so much, then you might not come to the Vijayanagas tomorrow. You may go to your meditation class or something like that. Okay. Let's go to the ahirika. Ahirika. So, we say ahirika. Please look at the original meaning. The ahirika is lack of moral shame or impudence. So that lack of moral shame or moral shamelessness is the important meaning of this, the ahirika. So we say it is just like a village pig there in the second paragraph there. We compare with a village pig that does not see loathsome in eating like sword, you say. Now when moha blinds you, you don't know what is good or bad. So what is bad? What is evil? What is wicked? You don't think it is very low to perform that. So you don't feel ashamed to do it. You don't feel ashamed to do it. So that shamelessness is called ahirika. So this ahirika, it also encourages you to perform wicked deeds because you don't feel ashamed to do it. And you don't think, you don't know that it's very low. It is very low. The noble person won't do this immoral deed. But you don't know that it is immoral. Since you don't know it's immoral, you just look for your gain. I gain. By cheating him, I gain. So by stealing, I gain. So you just look for your gain. For your gain, because you think his eye is present. So you perform this immoral thing. You don't feel ashamed. So this moral shamelessness, it urges you to perform the evil deeds. And anuttapa, we say it is lack of moral dread, lack of moral dread. So again, you don't know about karma and its result. You don't know karma and result because of moha. Moha blinds you, so we don't know about karma and its result. So just yesterday I tried to explain to you, even in smashing a mosquito, or in killing a chicken, we developed billions and billions of immoral karma. So that will send you to the roof of boats many times. Get you, will torture you there for many, many existence. So when you do not know the karma and the result, you are not afraid to perform, to kill. This must be done. It hurts me. So bang, you just smash it. You don't pay any attention. Just you look for yourself, for the happiness of yourself. So you think the enemies, get rid of them. Get rid of them. So, anuttapa, ahirika. The next one is uddacca, the restlessness of the mind. So because of uddacca, your mind is restless. Your mind is wandering from one sense object to another. And it is being distracted, we say. Your mind is being distracted, wavering, restless. So it is like a flag in the wind. When you put up your flag in the wind, it flutters. It flutters like that. So the same thing, it makes your mind flutters like that. And it is also compared with a heap of ash. Now if you throw a big stone into the ash, the heat of the ash will be blown out, blown away, dispersed. The same thing, it makes your mind dispersing. So when your mind is restless, you cannot think deeply. You cannot think deeply. So whether this is good or bad, you cannot reason. You cannot be. No, this is abjaccha. It makes your mind restless. So, this pose. No, this pose is a seeker. Here we have moha keeps you in darkness. No, to be ignorant of the reality, to be ignorant of karma is an answer, to be ignorant of what is birth or death. So, ahirika is not ashamed to perform evil deed. And anatyata, not afraid, no, to perform evil deed. And uddhacha makes you restless so that you cannot think deeply. So, no, these four, they always, no, encourage you to perform evil deeds. So, whenever you perform evil action, they are always involved. No, they are the original. They are the originator, you might say. No, so, so we go to the next group. We call lobha. Three means three. No, so with lobha as the leader. Now, please look at the page 70 again. No, at number 2, near the top. Now, please look at the page 70 again. No, at number 2, near the top. There you get lobha 3. Now this lobha 3, we call papancha dhamma. Now papancha dhamma, we'll explain later on in the text. Now they are the forces that explain your existence one after another. Now that prolong your existence. So they are called pancha, papancha dhamma. Now let's read the 5, 6, 7. Lobha, raga. It's also called raga or tanha. So these are the names of lobha. So the meaning is greed, attachment, and sensuous desire. Dechi, no, dechi. Wrong view or evil opinion. Mana, conceit or pride. So, no, for further explanation, you can look on page 72, near the bottom, we get lobha there. So lobha is a strong desire for sensuous objects or jhana happiness. It will never give up this intrinsic nature of desiring, however much one may possess. Even the whole wealth on earth cannot satisfy the desire of lobha. It is always on the lookout for something new. Thus, one cannot be truly happy if one cannot eliminate lobha. And the second nature of lobha is attachment, or clinging to sensuous objects, or to jhana or jhana happiness. This nature of attachment is compared with the sticky nature of monkey catching glue. So, please note, this lobha has two characteristics. You should know these two characteristics. What are the two? The two characteristics? The first one is desire or craving. Desire or craving. And the second one is attachment. Attachment. So, first, for most of us, we have desire for the sense enjoyment. The sense desire. That is lobha. That is the lobha. So, when we can develop the jhana, we tell you last time, I think, when in order to develop the jhana, you have to abandon the sense enjoyment. But now, when you get the jhana bliss is better, the sense enjoyment. So you pray for it again. Now you become attached to it again. So that means you just enjoy with this jhana. You cannot perform insight meditation to get emancipation. You can't go further because of this attachment. Now, so this actual lobha. So the lobha, first, it craves for the sense pleasure, the sense enjoyment. So now this lobha, it wants to get, to accumulate wealth. So, how much money do you want to get? What do you think? What should be enough? What do you think? Is it $1 million? $1 billion or so? So, you can actually see Now, when you don't have any money yet, oh, if I have about no $10,000, that would be enough. But when you get 10,000, oh, it's not enough, and I need 1 million. So when you get 1 million, oh, it's not enough, so little, I have to wait until another 10 million. So that is lopa. Oh, that is lopa. So it will never give up this craving or desire. Always keep on desiring. If you get one, what you want, it will desire for another one. So every day you have 1,001 desire. 1,001 desire. You can never satisfy your desire. So long you are having dukkha, you will be always craving for something, desiring for something. So that means you are not satisfied. You are not contented. So you will not be happy. No, you will not be happy. And the Western philosophers, they reason very correctly. Like Plato, like Socrates, they said. So long a man has desire, that means he is not complete. That means he will suffer. So long you have your desire, that desire is not satisfied, then you are suffering. So you get suffering. So this lopa, the more you get, the bigger it grows. Just like drinking salty water, the sea water. So to quench your thirst, you drink the salty water. You get more thirsty. You get more thirsty. So the Buddha said, when he was a universal monarch, he was some monarch by the name of Mandhatu. So he traveled to several parts of the world with his flying chariot. He flew to several parts. So in some parts of the world, he said, oh, the people are so poor. So by his power, the karma power, he could make the gold and silver to rain down from the sky. So if he strikes his arm like this, then he can make the rain, the gold pieces, silver pieces to rain down. So the villagers only descended for this, the gold and silver. But he found out, however much I rain down, they were never satisfied. They were never satisfied. So you have that, you have that idea also. And, just like the American students used to tell us, so they say, oh, we are very free. No, we can enjoy whatever we want. We can enjoy all types of sensations. But very soon we are fed up with all this. You become fed up. No? So, but before you enjoy, you think very, very appealing, is very good. But then you can enjoy it. It becomes dull, becomes fed up. So they try to get new excitement. So they say they end up with taking drugs, so they get you the drugs, because the drugs can give you the excitement, so they end up with that. No, that means this lopa is never satisfied. And another characteristic is the attachment. So we accumulate wealth, we accumulate, say, friends, and we take a wife, a husband, we have the children, so we are happy with the children, with our wife. But we are attached to this. You are attached to your well, to your house, to your motor car. So all these becomes the fetters to you. The fetters, they bind you up. They keep you in prison. You cannot go away from this. So you get attached to this thing. So they say it is just like the monkey catching glue. So the monkey catcher, he went to the forest. He saw several monkeys on very tall trees. He would like to catch them. No, he did not know how to catch them. So he got the idea. So he went around the forest and cutting the tree so that the sticky gum would come up. So he collect all this sticky gum. And he brought them together to get very, very sticky gum. They call it the monkey catching glue. So he applied this glue on the tree trunk. So with a stick, so he apply this glue on the tree, on the trunks of the tree. So those monkeys, they are very curious. So they are watching this man. What is he doing? So he is flying like that. What is he doing? Now the sun rises. Now when you get the sun rays, now the sun rays is dispersed in the spectrum. Now you get various color spectrum there. So that monkey become more curious. So now this monkey catcher, now he went away and he hid, behind the bushes there. So the monkey would come down. Now they would come down because it's very inquisitive. So what is that? No, it's shiny. So try to touch it with one paw. As soon as it touches it, it gets stuck there. Oh, he cannot take it out. So he pushed with the other hand. So the two hands are stuck now. So he kicked with one of the legs. So the leg is stuck. He kicked with another leg. The leg is stuck. So he tried to push with his head. The head is stuck. And as he tried to, struggle, his body also gets stuck. So he could get out of there. So at that time, the monkey catcher would come up. So he can catch it or can kill him. So the same thing. We are being attached to these possessions of the wealth, the family, and we are very soon caught up by aging, owners, and very soon dead. We shall be caught up with this thing. So that is the loka. So remember, because moha gives you the wrong vision that these things are very beautiful, they are stable, permanent. No, so they do think they are to be blissful, so lopa, pray for them. No, so these are the very strong forces that manipulate all the people in the world, all the creatures in the world. Just imagine, everybody is now screaming for the sense pleasure, because they don't know they are having the wrong vision. So if you just try to be happy with a sense pleasure, you will end up, as I told you, in the world of both. So, because of this, if you say, why people have, most of the time we are having akusala chaita. We are having akusala chaita most of the time because the mind is being occupied, being influenced by moha, ahirika, anachata, uddhaja, and this lopa. And then again, the two companions of lopa, dechi and mana, they are very, very bad things. Now let's go to the dechi. The dechi is given at the bottom of page 73. So dechi is usually translated as view. Just dechi, it means view, belief, opinion. So sama dechi means the right view. And mitcha dechi would mean the wrong view. Here, as an immoral jeta seeker, dechi is used in the sense of the wrong view. So though we don't say mitcha dechi, you take this dechi as the mitcha dechi, not the wrong view, not the right view. No, it's the wrong view because it is akusala, immoral. Okay. Now, I think the second paragraph on page 74 is worth reading there. Now, the most basic and universal wrong view. I'm reading the second paragraph of page 74. The most basic and universal wrong view is the personality belief. Sakkaya dechi. We call in Pali sakkaya dechi. So we translate it as personality belief. Or ego illusion, that is atta dechi. Now sakkaya dechi believes that this combination of mind and body is I, you, he, she, man, woman, person, etc. Atta dechi believes in the existence of an atta or soul, or ego, or life entity in the body. From this sakkaya dechi or atta dechi, as well as from the ignorance due to moha, there spring up thousands of wrong views. So, sakkaya dechi is one of the 10 fetters. I think you can leave that out. So, just try to understand like this. You try to understand like this. We say moha, blinds your mind to give you the wrong vision. So because of that wrong vision, you take this body and mind as person. No, you see it as a person, or as I, as you, as he, you see it. So that is moha, gives you the wrong vision. Now, Deity takes that to be true. No, he takes that to be true. Oh, this is a man. This is a person. This is I. That is you. So it becomes wrong you. Moha gives the wrong vision, and no, Deity takes it as correct, so it has the wrong view. So they say, you know, the universal basic wrong view is that Sakkaya Deity. No, Sakkaya Deity or Atta Deity, they are not correlated anyway. But you are thinking this, you know, combination of mind and body, to be the person, to be I, to be you. No, so this belief is very, very strong, very, very strong. So you are thinking I is present. So when you think I really present, you become selfish. No, you become selfish. You just look for your happiness, for your gain. So you don't care for others. So no, you will cheat, no, you will steal, or you will do anything to produce, no, for your enjoyment. And also before the bitter end of this I, no, for the I. Not to be better. So you start to invent many, many wrong views, not including many, not like the religious views, like in the ideologies, not like the politics. So in politics too, you have so many views. Oh, that would make you happy. No? They would make you like a paradise, that's what they think. So Karl Marx, they make, oh, materialism will make you like will give you a paradise. So, no, because of this wrong view, many, many wrong views, no, arises. So with the religious view, no, like I read in the newspaper once, no, in a newspaper once, they tried to survey the various beliefs, religious beliefs, no, in the Brazil, no, in Brazil. And they found to be more than 3,000 religious views present there. So if you take worldwide, there are many, many thousands and thousands of religious views. So all these religious views, they have the intention to make you good. Oh, no, you worship this God. So when you die, he will take you to heaven. So then you will be happy forever. You enjoy forever. So for that betterment of you, oh, you believe it. So you get various religious views because of the wrong view, Deity. So, no, as I told you last time, the Sakkaya Deity, thinking I, you know, present, is very, very strong in us. No, so this steady Abhidhamma will help you, no, to lessen that hold on the personality belief. It can lessen a little bit, not much, you know, no, not much, no. So even in meditation, no, so you have to see this teacher, the seeker arising and dissolving. So when you get to that, so you can, no, you can lessen this personal belief, you weaken it a little further more. So only when you get the first, no, the first consciousness, Sotapatti Magga, you can eliminate this Sakkaya Deity. So only when we attain the first Magga and Plug, we shall be free from being born in the world for birth. Otherwise, with this Sakkaya Deity, you have the ticket, no, to go to hell, to go to hell. No, so sooner or later, you'll be there, so don't worry. So, now mana, you know mana? Mana, the next series is the mana. So conceit, no, they translate it, or pride. So the two words, either conceit or pride, is good for mana. So it is like Deity. It is also a byproduct of moha and lopa. Moha gives the wrong vision that persons exist, and that they are permanent, pleasant, beautiful. forever clings to these persons, especially the one represented by oneself. Mana looks on this self person as I am the best, I know most, I have no equals in the world. So, we have that feeling, that conceit, that we are the best, or we can do what other people can do. So if somebody, like the parents, they try to admonish their children, so the children, they wouldn't like to listen to them. So they would say, oh, mom, you don't need to say, I know it. I know it. No, so you don't say it to me. So I know it, I already know it, that means mana. No, these are the mana. No, so you cannot tame the mind very, very much. And the Buddha said, there are three kinds of mana. No, that's very notable, at the next paragraph. This conceit of pride is of three kinds. The equality conceit, we call, that's ordinary mana, equality conceit. The inferiority conceit, we call O mana. And the superiority conceit, a big mana. As the saying goes, pride will have its fall. So pride and conceit is not a virtue to be proud of. Now that equality conceit, when two men quarrel, now when you get heat up in conversation, you start quarrel. So they are equal. So they say, oh, you are a man, I'm a man. Now if you have the courage to fight, I also have the courage to fight. So that is the equal mana, we say. It is the ordinary mana. Now, the inferiority, the conceit. So you are below in rank with the other guy. So what would you say? Well, I'm standing on the ground. I have nothing to lose. Now, if you have the courage, come on, I challenge you. So those who are, some people, they are trying to hit it. So, he was down, and the other man is above him, trying to hit him. But still, he won't give up, try to hit from below. So that is the inferiority, the conceit with God. And the superiority conceit also. Now those people who are high in rank, who are very rich, so they will say, oh, I'm much better than these fellows. So these fellows have nothing to do, nothing to do with them. So they look down on these people. So that is a deep mana. So all of these are bad. All of these are bad. So they can give us trouble. So they can influence like that. So we should be aware of that. Now, where do we have the papancha dhamma? No, papancha dhamma. So it will be on the low part. Well, there's some place there. As you look, you try because these three things, they will give you new existence one after another, and they will prolong your cycle of existence, and because of that, we call them the papancha dhamma. So this way, just try to remember as papancha dhamma. So let's go to the next group then. So the next group is the dosa chatukka. It is chatukka, it's a group of four again. So they are given on page 70 again. We please go back to page 70. Now we look at number 3 this time. So they are dosa chatukka. Now they are the hateful ones, we say. Now what are they? Dosa, also known as patiga, means hatred, anger, or aversion. Ichha, actually, you have a da on A. No, there's a da on A. Ichha. Envy or jealousy. The next one, machariya. No, machariya. It is the avarice, stinginess, or the selfishness. Kukulcha, worry, scruples, or remorse. Well, let's look at the English meaning on page 75. So, dosa is translated as hatred, anger, or aversion. It is the most destructive element in the world. So be aware of that. Now that dosa, anger, is the most destructive element in the world, you know, that is set by the Buddha. So, and be aware also, now when you get that anger, now that anger, dosa arising in you, so it will burn you. No, it will burn you, it will hurt you first before it hurts other people. No, it hurts other people. So when you get the dosa, no, moha is always at the back. His foe are always at the back. No, always at the back, we say the moha group. No, so as soon as you have the dosa, moha is there. So it blinds you, you get blind. As soon as you get angry, you become blind. You cannot reason anymore. No, you don't. You cannot reason anymore, and you, no, again, since you cannot reason, you don't hesitate, no, to fight or no, to do anything. No, just like when I was in the United States, no, like in 1998, I was back in the United States again, going down and giving the Dhamma talk there. So in every town I went to, when I look at the newspaper, there are always cases of murder. All these cases of murder they fired. So, no, they could not control their anger. So in one town, they say the two men, no, they drove their cars and they have the appointed place there. So, no, so two of them, they don't get down from the car. Both of them, they remain on in their car. So they try to negotiate, no, about buying and selling heroin. No, the heroin. So the number four. So they try to negotiate and they cannot get agreement there. So they become, you know, hot up in their conversation. And the other man, he just, you know, pulled out his revolver. He shot, you know, at the other man. And that man was shot. And he knew he was shot. So he tried to drive his car, you know, to the hospital. But he could not make it. He died on the way. So such a thing. You know, you just, you know, you get into argument. As you become the get to the argument, the dosa arises. No? And the dosa, as soon as it arises, you are blind. So you do anything at that time. So you just want to protect yourself, you shoot at the other people. So we have this sort of things also in Myanmar. Now, like in the festival, many people, as well as especially the villagers, they come to the, not to enjoy the festival. And they used to drink during this time. So, as there are so many people, they sweep one another, they bump into another, they get quarrel, and then, you know, they brought the knife. So they stabbed with the knife, so they committed murder. So many things, you know, happen like that because of this dosa. And this dosa is very hot, you know, very hot. So, we say if you are angry, you know, don't take any food because the food will not be digested anymore. No, the food will not digest. No. So even very beautiful woman, no, as soon as she became angry, so no, the tips of the ears and the nose and the cheeks, no, becomes reddish, and her face becomes, no, just like a giantess, you know. So it becomes very, very frightening. So it's better to leave her. No, it's better to leave her because she will do something, no, very, very bad to you. So, no, this madusa is not a good one. So it is also compared with the poisonous snake. Now when the snake claws at one corner, it seems to be harmless. But if you touch it with a stick, no, it rolls up, no, it's hood, so it's ready to bite you. So the same thing, now you're smiling. No, no dosa. But if, no, someone insults you, that your dosa will come and you are ready to fight. So, no, that dosa is very hot. So, in some angels, if they have dosa mula chitta, they immediately die. And also with the Brahma, no, they have the fine material body. So, they could not have the dosa mula chitta. If dosa mula chitta arises, then they die. First, dosa mula chitta arises very frequently, nothing happens. So, you are used to that. And you are immune to the dosa. So it is very heat, so you get used to it. So you don't feel the hotness very much. Actually, it is very, very hot. Very, very hot. Now, the next one is Iksha. Iksha is actually it is envy or jealousy. Now, Iksha usually looks to other people. Only looks to other people. And then other people are better than you. No, in position, in business, on something, in beauty. So you get the jealousy. No, there is the Iksha, the Iksha. No, the same thing with the girls, with the women. If another girl is more attractive, and many men are giving attention to that girl, so she feels jealous for that. So the jealousy. So, and the Matsriya is the opposite of that. Not the opposite of that. So Matsriya. So if you please look at the Matsriya there, has the characteristic of consuming one's property. It does not appreciate to share one's property or special privilege with others. It takes the form of stinginess when one is reluctant to give money for charity. As mentioned in Anguttara Nikaya, there are five kinds of stinginess or matsriya with respect to dwelling place, families, gains, recognition, and knowledge. So you may have some idea from this. So matsriya, look at yourself. Look at yourself. It's the opposite of the Iksha. You are better than others. You are better than others. You are enjoying special privilege. Say you are having a big position in a company. So you don't want other guys, other people, to rise to your position. So you don't want them to rise at your position. Or if you are selling, you are opening a shop. So your shop is selling very well. So another shop, they come to open here. So you don't want the other shop, to sell as bigly as your shop. So you can see that. Because you are better than them, you don't want to give up this one. So again, like your house. You and your family only want to enjoy, not to share this house. So if the guests will come. So you reluctantly, you accept the guests to stay here. But we used to have the say in Myanmar. So the first day, he is a golden guest. And the second day, he becomes a silver guest. And the third day, he becomes a gold guest. So the fourth day will be island guest. So you don't like to do, not to share your things with others. So some the neighbors come and use your eggs or your bucket or something. They come and to borrow your thing. So you don't want to give them sometimes. Because you don't understand, you say, I don't have. So that is also Matsriya. You have to put to yourself. You don't like to share with others. The same thing with money. When the people come to ask for donation, so you get the Matsriya on your wealth. So you become stingy. You don't want to give to give them away. So that becomes stingy. So that stinginess is also Matsriya. So these two, the Iksha and Matsriya. Remember this Iksha and Matsriya. You don't have any good condition, any good reason for developing this Iksha and Matsriya. That guy is better than you, he's going on his way, he's trying very, the latest Cadillac or Mercedes car. But as soon as you scorn on them, you get them the Iksha, so you feel unhappy. Now the same thing, when you are reluctant and you share your things with others. So when the people come and try to ask for help, you don't want to give them. So again at that time you feel unhappy. Not like the collector donation. So you don't want to delay. So you feel unhappy during that time. So you become unhappy because of this Iksha and Matsriya for nothing. The Buddha said, if you can cut away, don't let this Iksha and Matsriya arise in you. you can be happy right away. Now you know that. Try not to get it up there. Iksha and Matsarya. Now we go to the next one. On page 76, we get Kukulcha. Now Kukulcha, we call it. Now Kukulcha has the characteristic of grieving over the evil that is done and the good that is not done. As it is useless to cry over spilled milk, it is of no use to repent or feel sorry about wrong. Because you have done something wrong, you make your parents unhappy, and later you say, oh, I wrong, not to make my parents unhappy. Or, now when you are young, now you have the chance, say, to study. If you try hard, you can be, like a doctor or an engineer. But because you don't study hard, you become just an ordinary, the person here. So then you feel sorry. Oh, if only I work hard at that time, I study hard, I could be a big man, a big doctor, a successful one. That means, that's kukukcha. So just by feeling remorse, not feeling sorry for something you have already done, there's no benefit, no use. So it's just like crying over spilled milk, we say. Just by crying, you don't get back the milk. So the thing we should do is, now, in this situation, what should I do now? So if you reason and do something, that would be more beneficial. Now we go to the last group of the akusala, we call the entry. The entry ones, they are Trina, Maitra, and Vijikecha. So then on page 70, we have their meaning. On page 70, the group 4, the entry, the dull and wavering ones, we say. Now the three of them are Trina, is sloth, Maitra, is purple, Vijikecha is subject of dull or perplexity. So the further meaning is given on page 76. So we say Trina. Trina is the shrinking state of the mind, like a cock's feather before fire. When one is either due to lack of media effort, one is under the influence of Trina. It is the sickness of the chitta. So Trina makes the mind inactive. It makes the mind morbid, inactive. So it is called the sickness of the chitta. So because of Trina, the sloth, you feel idle, lazy. You don't want to do anything, especially the meritorious deed. You don't want to do it. So it is the Trina. And the next one is the Maitra. So Maitra is the morbid state of mental concomitant. So they make, Maitra makes the truth seeker to be inactive and morbid. Now morbid and inactive, the same thing. In that, we also use it. So now when Trina and Maitra, they used to associate with the chitta together. Whenever Trina is present, Maitra is also present. So when they made both the chitta and the seekers to be dull, inactive and morbid, so you feel very, very lazy. You have a very heavy mind. You don't want to do anything. So very soon you feel drowsy. So that lazy and drowsiness is brought by the Trina Maitra. So Vijikecha, we already come across the Vijikecha, the subject of drow, about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the noble training. Now, we can go to page 72 about the Sarvana Chedasika, the beautiful mental concomitants. There are 25 of them. We also classify them into four subgroups. Now the first subgroup is Sodhana Sadharana. There are 19 of them. So these chaita, they associate with all the Sodhana chaita. So here you can find some particular things. We say this Moha Chatukka. These are four chitta seekers. They associate with all the akusala citta. So we call them akusala sadharana. Now we are coming to this group, the sodhana sadharana. So sodhana means sodhana citta. No, the sodhana citta. So they will associate with all the sodhana citta, the beautiful citta. So whenever you have misery, only these 30 are sodhana. All these are sodhana. 59 or 91 chaitas are sodhana. So whenever these chaitas arise, these 19 chaita seekers, they always arise together. Now what are they? Please read them. At the bottom of page 77. Saddha, faith, confidence. Sati, mindfulness or attentiveness. Hiri, moral shame. Uttapa, moral dread. Alopa, non-attachment, greedlessness, generosity. Adosa, heedlessness, goodwill. Tatara, majjatata, equanimity or mental balance. So these seven chaitasikas, they go by singly. Singly, they can oppose their opponents. Now for the next 12 chaitas, they go by pairs. So you will get pair of them. Now the first pair is kaya pasadi and chaita pasadi. Now the pasadi means tranquility. And kaya here does not mean the body. Now kaya, originally it means the group. So you should take it the group of the mental conglomerates. So since we are describing the chaita seekers, these are not the rupa, they are the chaita seekers, not the body. So you take the kaya pasadi as tranquility of mental conglomerates or chaita seekers. And chaita pasadi, tranquility of consciousness. And the next day, kaya lahuta, agility or lightness of mental conglomerates. And chaita lahuta, agility or lightness of consciousness. The next day, kaya mudita, elasticity of mental conglomerates. Chaita mudita, elasticity of consciousness. And the next day, please read, kaya kamanyata, adaptability of mental conglomerates. Chaita kamanyata, adaptability of consciousness. Kaya pagunyata, proficiency of mental conglomerates. Chaita pagunyata, proficiency of consciousness. Kayu jukata, uprightness of mental conglomerates. Chaitu jukata, uprightness of consciousness. So altogether 19 of them. Now again, if you are interested to make a rhyme, you can do it. Usually we do it. So here, sabda, sati, hili, uttap, and uttap, and then sabda, sati, hiri, uttap, and these alupa and adosa, they are the hetu. And tu hetuka, you can say. Uttap, tu uttapa, and tu hetuka. And tatra majata. And pasati lahu, mudu kaman, pagunyata, and ujukata. So for these six times, you have to associate them with kaya and chaita. So you say kaya pasadi, chaita pasadi. Kaya lahuta, chaita lahuta. Kaya mududa, chaita mududa. Kaya kamanyata, chaita kamanyata. Kaya pagunyata, chaita pagunyata. Kaya jukata, chaita jukata. Well, I think that the first seven is more significant. So it is good to know their meaning. And remember, all these are your good qualities. Now, these are Akusala Chita seekers, they are the negative qualities. The negative qualities are the base qualities that will make you base and wicked. Now, these are the good ones, the beautiful ones. So, they are your good qualities. If you can cultivate them, so you become noble. Now, Sadra, please look at the Sadra. Now, Sadra is well established confidence of faith. In the three jewels, that is Tiratana. Tiratana means three jewels, namely the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So usually we understand Sadha as faith in the triple gem, having faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So we believe them to be very noble, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And you have confidence in them that they can protect you from all dangers. Now, they can protect you from all dangers. So you can rely on them. You can take refuge in them. Usually, you can develop stronger faith by studying the attributes of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. When you understand their attributes, the attributes, that they are really very, very noble, then you will have stronger faith in the triple gem. So, that faith, the Buddha said, is the greatest treasure that you can possess in life. Of all your possessions that you are going to possess in this life, the Sattva is the most precious. And you would agree. So, that faith, the Buddha said, is the greatest treasure that you can possess in life. Of all your possessions that you are going to possess in this life, the Sakka is the most precious. And you would agree with the Buddha if you understand well. So, in Buddhism, when we say you have faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we don't mean it is blind faith. No, it is not blind faith. So, when you say you believe in God, you have faith in God, but you do not know who is that God. There is not a person. And you cannot know the examine his qualities. So in that case, you have to believe it blindly. You have to believe it blindly. But it's not the same in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. They are human beings. The Buddha is a human being. The Sangha are human beings. And you can examine their qualities, their virtues. Now, when you see their virtues are very outstanding, then you develop reverence towards them. So you have faith in them. So we say Sadha is faith. Associated with understanding. It combines with wisdom. Without wisdom, blind faith is not good. That blind faith is not very strong, it's not very precious. Only when you have faith with your wisdom, with understanding, then that faith is strong. And I find out this Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma learning is the best source for elevating your faith. I find it myself. I find it myself. Usually, since I was a boy, from my childhood, I am very religious. I'm very pious. A very pious man. But after boy, from my childhood, I am very religious. I'm very pious. A very pious man. But I had the chance to the story of Abhidhamma only at the age of 46 years. Before I didn't know that we should study the Abhidhamma. We just think, Abhidhamma has nothing to do with us. You do not know what is Abhidhamma. So when you do not know what is Abhidhamma, you have no wish to study it. So it has nothing to do with us, the stuff we made. So I just keep reading the books, published by so many authors. So you may read as many books as you like. You may listen to many lectures given by many experts. But I can bet you will not understand Buddhism very well and very thoroughly unless you study Abhidhamma. No? When you study Abhidhamma, now we are just going to the second chapter now. The beginning of the second chapter now. So you have to complete this. No, you have to complete this. Then when you complete this, then you will find that, oh, you have a good understanding of what Buddhism means. You understand it. No, so when you understand it, and it is so magnificent, so subtle, so systematic, so you have to admire the omniscience of the Buddha. You actually believe in this omniscience. Remember, it's like the Buddha. No other person can describe the mind. They do not know what the mind really is. Not like the psychologists. They are writing so many books about psychology. But none of them knows what the mind really is. No, they are just like beating about the bush. No, you cannot get to the center there. So, I mean, you cannot purify your mind. No, by reading their psychology, in the big library. No, you read them. You don't know how to purify your mind. No, so if you cannot purify your mind, you cannot become noble. No, and you cannot enjoy that Nibbana happiness. You can never enjoy Nibbana happiness. No, so the Buddha can do that. And this we should understand in meditation. When you do inside meditation, what we describe now, you have to observe all of this. This is the gist, remember. Not just the gist, the essence means the gist, the summary, not the enlarged one. No, so this is the shortest one, this one. No? The shortest one. So I cannot actually condense a little further. So it is already the shortest. So even if you know this, in my case, I am very, very thrilled and satisfied. So my faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha grew very strong after learning Abhidhamma. So you will get that chance. So just go to the end. You will get that chance. So this faith is very, very precious. So this Sangha, originally, it has the property of clarifying your mind. It has the property of clarifying your mind. So it is compared, in the next paragraph, it is compared to the unique emerald of the universal Mulak, we say, in the next paragraph. Now this sabda is compared to the unique emerald of the universal Mulak. Now they say, if you put this emerald, in a, say, a pot of water. Now that pot of water is dirty, and it is warm and hot. Now if you put that emerald in this one, this emerald will make all the dirt to subside. So it becomes clear. And it also disperses all the heat and becomes cool. So just like the emerald can make the dirty hot water to be clear and cool. So sutta, when it associates with the mind, it clarifies the mind. It calms down, cools down the mind. Now, why, you might nearly ask. Now when sutta associates with the mind. No, it does not come alone. It comes with this group, 19. No, so it's just like an army. No, so Sadhguru is the leader. So with all these 19, they march on. So originally, the mind is occupied by Akusala Chirasika. Usually, they are occupied. No, so the Moha Loka, they occupy the mind. As soon as the Sadhya group, they march up. All these Agusala Chirisika, they have to run away. So actually, the beautiful Chirisikas are strong. No, stronger than Agusala Chirisika. But usually we have to say, about the water and fire. No, if, whichever is more, no? If there's more fire, so the fire will win over water. If there's more water, water will win over fire. So the same thing like here, something like here. But when you have the sadha, that very strong sadha, and with the group it comes, the lopa dosa, they run away. So as soon as they run away, this lopa dosa, are called the defilements of the mind. They make the mind dirty. No, they make the mind wicked. And they burn the mind. These lopa dosa moha. The Buddha said they are the worst fires. Now the worst fire, just like we say the dosa. As soon as you get dosa, those angels die. No, you don't see anything because you are immune to that. So they are burning fire. So as soon as that comes to the mind, they went away. So your mind will be very cool, peaceful. No, very cool, peaceful and clear. So that is the property of sadha. Now, in clear water in the pond, when the water is clear, you can see the fish, not the plant swimming in the water, if it is very clear. So the same thing when your mind is clear, with no disturbance of those, then you can understand the attributes of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha very well. So you develop faith in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. No, this one property. Now another property, in this case in the next paragraph, we compare sadha with a hen. No, you compare with a hen. Now, if a person is on a mountain of jewels, on a mountain of jewels where you can pick up, like say the diamonds, the rubies, the fire, there are plenty of these precious stones on that mountain. So you would say, this man is very, very lucky, you would say, don't you? Don't you say that? Now, if that man does not have any hand, his hand has been cut off, so he cannot pick up. No, he cannot pick up this jewel. No, he cannot pick up. So the same thing the Buddha said. Now, to be in contact with the Buddha teaching, we call the Buddha sasana, the Buddha's dispensary, or the Buddha's teaching, we are luckier than that guy on that precious mountain. No, we are luckier than them. We are among the luckiest people now, because we are in contact with the Buddha's teaching. So, if you have sadha, faith, belief in the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha, you will perform many meritorious deeds. Now that sadha will lead you to perform many meritorious deeds. So, if you are very, very, you have the strong sadha, you will recall the attribute of the Buddha, the Dhamma most of the time. Most of the time. So we are accumulating karma, good karmas, by many, many billion every day, just like today. When you listen here, you are now accumulating so much good karma. So these good karmas, they are much, much more precious than all the jewels, the precious stone that you can carry from that mountain. So, you'll be very lucky, you have those precious souls. But I think you will remember, it can be a blessing in disguise. It can be a blessing in disguise. Because of that precious soul, the robbers may kill you. So you may die very young. Now with that precious stones and with a lot of money, what would you do? Now that you will do is, more or less, try to enjoy the sense pleasure. Now that's what we do, we try to enjoy the sense pleasure. So you are just chasing after the sense pleasure without getting any real peacefulness. And when you die, so you go to the world for good. So we say it is a blessing in disguise. So you are blessed just a moment. And you have to suffer a long time in the world for both. No good. No good. So it is much better not to have sadha. So remember, so when the Buddha said, what is the most precious possession in the world? It is sadha is the most precious possession in the world. Well, may that sadha and dhamma with you. Okay. We stop now. Okay, let's share our merits again. Idam me punyam asvakhaya vaham hatu. Well, you can say together, may these merits of mine lead us to the extinction of all defilements. Idam me punyam Nibbanas Pachaya Hotu. May these merits of mine be conducive to my attainment of Nibbana. Imam no punya bhagam. Sabba sattanam dhima. Imam no punya bhagam. Sabba sattanam dhima. Imam no punya bhagam. Sabba sattanam dhima. We share these merits with all sentient beings. May all sentient beings obtain the share of these merits and be well and happy always. Satu, satu, satu. So, I hope we have a long day tomorrow. So, tomorrow we will start at 9, the circle is correct. Is that true? So, we will have two sessions tomorrow, 9 to 11, and then 2 to 4, 2 to 6. Well, that's backwards. No, okay.